Death May Surprise Us, a thriller in 6 episodes by Ted Willis. Dramatized by him from his novel of the same name. Part 4, Breakthrough. Starring Leslie Sands as Jack Stoddart, Mary Wimbush as Jess Stoddart, Cyril Shapps as Victor, and Jeffrey Matthews as Commander Knowles. Death May Surprise Us.
It was now almost 4 days since the Prime Minister and his wife had been kidnapped. Responsibility had been claimed by a group calling itself the People's Action Brigade. The papers called them extremists, but in my book they were just plain loony. Either way, they were dangerous. At first it was believed that the PM had been taken to Eastern Europe, but this possibility had now been eliminated. The investigation team, under the leadership of Commander Knowles of Scotland Yard, had also managed to circulate a photograph of one of the key members of the gang. But that was about as far as they'd got. As the papers usually put it, progress was painfully slow. Meantime, after the initial shock of his capture, the Prime Minister, Jack Stoddart, was beginning to challenge his captors, and, for the first time, they allowed him to see his wife, Jess.
Jack.
Steady now, lass, steady. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. Fine, truly. The rum's nice and they've treated me well, but... Oh, God, what have they done to you?
Nothing too serious.
But look at you, your clothes, your face.
My accommodation isn't quite up to this standard. They call it a cell. No washing facilities, no razor. Do you, you think a beard will suit me?
Oh, no, don't joke, Jack. What about food?
Not much. Potato soup, dry bread.
Here, look. On the table, it's my breakfast. I've hardly touched it. Toast, butter, tea. Now, you sit down and eat.
No, we haven't time. They've only given me a few minutes.
We can talk while you eat. Now, come on. I don't want it. I don't need it.
All right. I could do with something.
Jack. Who are they? What do they want?
God knows.
And where are we?
I don't know that either. They tried to make me believe that we were in Eastern Europe, Czechoslovakia, but I've exploded that one.
But I mean, the girl said there were no English papers here, and I seem to remember being on a plane.
We were meant to think that, but it was a fake. We were blindfolded. They probably played a tape recording of sound to simulate the interior of a plane. Oh, they've simulated a lot of things. Like this place. It isn't a prison. Does this look like a room in a prison? Armchairs, a good bed, books, breakfast on a tray? No. No, I think we're in some sort of country house. And what they call my cell is a cellar.
Where?
Like I said, I don't know. But I have a hunch that we're in England.
England?
I don't think we ever left it. God, this toast is gone.
Oh, eat it or go on. Now, why should they want us to think we've been taken abroad?
Partly, I suspect, to fool the British authorities, and partly to frighten us, to make us more pliable.
What are they after? Ransom what?
Not ransom. They're some sort of loony left group. They say that I've betrayed the working class.
Oh, Jack.
Maybe they're right.
Don't talk like that.
They want to put me on trial, make me confess my sins.
Oh, they are mad. Well, enough of that.
Where are you going?
I've got a bathroom all sweet, would you believe? And I'm going to run you a nice hot bath.
Jess, they'll be back soon. We have to talk.
We can talk while you take a bath. And if they come before you're finished, they'll have to ruddy well wait, won't they?
Right, comrades. Settle down. I've called you together to review the situation so far and to consider our next steps. Carol, your report on the male prisoner.
Well, he continues to be obstinate, defiant, you could say. Oh, he's no fool. He has realized that we are not in Czechoslovakia. I think he already knows that we are in Britain.
Of course he knows, and shall I tell you why? Because we have been careless and slipshod. Worse, we've been weak and vacillating.
Are you accusing me?
I'm accusing everyone. For example, Where is Stoddart now?
He's with his wife.
Exactly. The prisoner has been given compassionate leave to visit his wife. What rubbish! He should have been kept to his cell, forced to wear the uniform, made to feel like a prisoner. We should have piled on the pressure in order to break his spirit.
You mean use more violence?
Yes, if necessary. Listen, this operation has two aims, correct?
Correct. And may I remind you that we've succeeded 100% with the first aim? Mm-hmm. We intended to cock a snook at the establishment, the police, all the power of bourgeois society by lifting their top man, their chief lackey, right from under their noses.
And we have done it. We have done it. We have shaken
it's
some.
It's true. You have to admit that, Valchik.
So, three cheers. But what about our secondary target? We were going to take this Prime Minister of theirs, pin him to a board and dissect him. But what happens? We start to feel sorry for him and for his lady wife.
Oh, that's not true.
Not you so much, Victor.
Oh, thank you.
But Carol here and Jane.
No,
I've seen it in your faces. You're thinking, he's an old man of 60. He's the son of a miner. He's a human being, after all, and we all make mistakes. And his wife is a good, decent woman. If I can read this rotten sentimentality in your eyes, so can Stoddart. You can bet money on that. Why else do you think he's obstinate, defiant? Because he sees the weakness in you also.
May I say something?
You have the floor.
I know it's stupid, irrational, but I can't take the violent bit. It's one thing to think of it as a political necessity, but to carry it out, to see it being done, no. And not just the physical violence, the other side too. Half starving the man, letting him live in filth, I can't take it.
But we did discuss all this, Jane.
I know, but well, there's a difference between theory and practice. I mean, like the wife, I used to think of her as a dull, smug old bitch. But she isn't really. Well, she's a nice person, a decent person.
God, nonsense!
And her husband hasn't given her much of a life.
Right. Get into that water and have a good soak.
You don't have a razor?
I didn't think to bring one with me.
Jess, you're a marvel.
Say that again.
Why?
Only that it's a long time, so... Oh, never mind. Now, in you go.
Right. Oh, marvellous. Oh, it's great.
Hot enough.
Perfect. Jess, listen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think this thing out carefully. They won't be able to hold us for long. Our people, with all their resources, will be working night and day to find us. Sooner or later, they'll succeed.
I wish I had your confidence.
They will, Jess, they will. And our job is to survive until then. Survival, that's the thing, you see. It's all we have. At the moment, the strength is on their side. We have to hang on.
Look, I'm not thinking of myself.
You never do, Lass.
No, seriously. I mean, it's not so bad for me up here, but you, what they're doing to you now and what they plan to do frightens me.
Shush, don't worry about me. Oh. I'm tougher than you think, tougher than they think. What's the saying? It's an ill wind that blows nobody any good. Do you know, since I've been here, I haven't had any of those stomach cramps. Must be the rich living.
Oh, Jack, how can you joke?
It's the best way, isn't it? I tell you what, when we get out of here, we'll have a holiday. Go away together, just the two of us. We haven't done that in years.
Where have I heard that before? I shouldn't make any promises you can't keep.
No, I mean it this time. I really mean it.
We'll see. Now then, you give me that soap and I'll give your hair a good wash. It's filthy.
Yes, Jane has raised an important point. She's expressed her feelings with total honesty, as we would expect. Let me put my view of the matter. First, it's no disgrace to feel sympathy, pity. Such human feelings are natural. On the other hand, as revolutionaries, we must recognise that, in certain circumstances, those same human feelings can also betray us. To be a true revolutionary, one has to learn to discipline one's emotions and to use them for the good of the cause. It's not enough to hate capitalism objectively, impersonally. It's necessary to hate the capitalists themselves, to develop a deep, revolutionary hatred for our enemies. And to that end, we must enroll our emotions. Make them...
Who's that?
Karen, take a look.
Okay. It's Thornby, in the jeep.
Oh, all right. We'll adjourn the meeting until this afternoon.
Let's hope it will prove to be more useful than the discussion we just had.
You're becoming cynical, comrade.
It's the company I keep.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means that we talk too much. That's all, too much discussion.
Well, we'll argue it out later. How now, Thornby? What news from the world outside?
Here. All the morning papers. And his bloody picture is on the front page of every one.
What?
Valchik, your photograph.
Oh, no.
Where did they get that? You were warned. You had instructions. No photographs.
I don't know how they got that. I was careful.
But not bloody careful enough.
It's not so bad. They haven't got Valchik's real name. They've named the man in the picture as George Sharp. Well, it's not so bad.
Bad enough. Right. We're not in any danger yet. It took us a year to plan this operation, and they won't find it easy to break our cover. All the same, it would be a mistake to underestimate the authorities. So, in view of this latest development, I propose that we speed up our plans. We'll send the government another communique, and we'll start tightening the screws on Stoddart.
There we are. Yes, your hair's more or less dry.
Thanks. Oh, I could have soaked in that bath for hours.
You feel better?
A million times. They're here. I knew it was too good to last.
Wait here. Put that towel around you. I'll see to them.
Ah, there you are, Mrs. Stoddart. Time's up.
Where is he?
He's in there, in the bathroom. And he is staying there until I get some satisfaction out of you lot.
Don't give us any trouble, or
trouble?
It will be...
You'll have plenty of that. Now, look. Do you see what these are? His clothes. The filth you made him wear. What are you, animals, that you can treat a person so, locking him up, half-starving him? Well, it's enough, I tell you, enough. He's not going anywhere. He is staying here with me. And you won't separate us again if you bring a whole army.
Out of my way, woman!
No! No. Leave it be! No!
No, Valchik, no!
You stay out of this. Out! Come on, out here! Out here where I can see you.
Now listen, I don't intend
Jack,
to
Jack,
stand
careful.
By
him. He has a gun.
Which I will use if necessary.
There is no need
Shut
to...
Shut up! I know what is necessary.
Yes, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
You,
I'm fine.
Madame Stoddart, get into that bathroom and stay there until you have our permission to leave.
I have no
Move.
Intention.
Mrs. Stoddart.
Do as he says, lass. Remember what I said. Hang on, don't give up.
Oh, Jack, look. Now, if you hurt my husband, if he comes to
Move,
any harm...
I said.
Go along, Jess.
All right, Jack. Take care, love.
Right. I see that you still don't understand us, Mr. Stoddart. You haven't lost your illusions of grandeur. Perhaps this will help you to learn humility. All I have to do is squeeze this trigger, a very gentle squeeze. And where would you be then?
I wouldn't be much use to you dead.
Oh, don't deceive yourself. We don't really care one way or the other. What's this, then? Sweat. You are sweating. Imagine that. What is it, fear? Are you afraid of me, perhaps? Afraid of death?
You've been watching too many American television shows. You even remember the dialogue.
That's the first lesson. When I have finished, you will have learned to hold your tongue. You will have learned to fear me. Now, we have brought you a uniform.
Here.
You have 30 seconds to put it on. But if the cut isn't good enough for one of your elevated position, or should you not like the colour, don't be concerned. We are reasonable people. We shall be quite happy to allow you to go back to your cell naked.
And during an extended question time in the House, the Home Secretary was pressed further by the Leader of the Opposition, James Lang.
Here it comes. Turn it up a bit, will you, Wiley?
Sure.
As the Ministry is aware, we on these benches have no wish to embarrass or harass the government at this difficult time. But is he aware also of our deep concern at the apparent failure of the police and the security services to track down these criminals? Is he satisfied that everything possible is being done?
Yes, I am satisfied, Mr. Speaker. I can assure the Right Honourable Gentleman opposite, and indeed the whole House, that I have complete confidence in the police and the security services. This is a very difficult and complicated case, but the police have already gathered a great deal of valuable information and are currently following some new leads. I hope the Right Honourable Gentleman, the Leader of the Opposition, will not press me further in what is clearly a delicate area.
Oh, very well, I shall not pursue that point. But may I ask the Minister if the government has had any communication from the kidnappers? And in the event of contact being made, would the government be prepared to negotiate for the release of the Prime Minister and his wife?
Mr. Speaker, the government has already made it quite clear that it will not, under any circumstances, give in to blackmail of any kind, from whatever source. Indeed, the Prime Minister himself was responsible for a resolution in Cabinet which laid down this policy. No ransom, no capitulation to criminal demands, whatever the cost. That is our attitude, and it will remain our attitude. Having said that, Mr. Speaker, we shall continue to bend all our energies to secure the safe return of the Prime Minister and Mrs. Stoddart.
Yes.
I can tell the House that both the Swiss and the Algerian governments have offered their services as mediators.
The Home Secretary seems to know more than we do, sir. What new leads was he talking about?
I wish I knew. What's the latest on the aircraft?
It's down to 6 now, sir. All the others have been eliminated, including the 2 which went missing last weekend. All 6 have been investigated once, sir. They're now being rechecked.
Mr. Tompkins, Mr. Ben Tompkins?
Yes?
Detective Inspector Martin, your office told me I might find you here, sir.
My secretary knows my drinking habits too well. Actually, I do have a dinner date. I just popped in for a quick one.
Oh, that's all right, sir. This won't take more than a minute or so.
Can I get you a drink, Inspector?
I'll have a half of that draft bitter, if I may, thank you.
A half of draft bitter, please, Cheryl.
They're coming up.
Now, what is it, Inspector? If it's about my pipe of Cherokee, I've already made a statement to the police.
Oh, we're just double-checking, Mr. Tompkins, just to see if you might have remembered anything else.
Here we are.
Keep the change, Cheryl.
Thanks, Ben.
Cheers.
Cheers. Well, the answer to your question is in the negative, I'm afraid, Inspector. I did take a solo trip last Saturday from Biggin Hill. I could have put down at Oakfield, but I most definitely did not.
Where did you go from Biggin Hill?
Nowhere in particular. I'd had a heavy week, and I just wanted to get away into the wide blue yonder. I flew up as far as Derby, then over to the East Coast and back to base. There were plenty of people who saw me take off and return, and I was in radio communication, of course.
Oh, we've checked, sir. No problem there. I was wondering, when you were airborne, did you happen to see a Piper Cherokee with its markings blacked out?
Afraid not. Look, Inspector, I'd like to continue this, but I do have to rush. I'll be in my office in the morning if you do have any further questions.
Oh, that's all right, sir. Let's leave it that I'll contact you if anything else occurs to me.
Fine. Nice talking to you, Inspector. Bye.
Miss, I think I might have the other half, please.
Half a draft, was it?
Right. A nice young fellow, that.
Ben Tompkins? Oh, he's all right. More money than is good for him, that's all.
Oh, loaded, eh?
I'll say. His father was a property millionaire. Ben didn't get on too well with the old man. He dropped out, lived rough. And then the father died and left everything to his 3 children. Ben came in for a cool million. Here we are.
Oh, thanks. Here, take it out of that and have one for yourself.
Oh, very kind of you, sir. I'll have it later, if you don't mind. Your change.
Mm. Oh, thanks. So, he came in for a million, did he?
Could have been more. I tell you one thing, it changed him.
Well, I imagine £1 million would change most people.
But you should have seen our Ben. One day he's in here talking about the revolution, down with the rich, up with the workers and all that. Then he comes into the money and whoosh, he's wearing expensive leisure wear, flying aeroplanes, having a good time with the birds, moaning about taxes and saying people like that Tony Benn should be locked up.
Now, that's quite a change.
Change? It was a transformation. I tackled him once about it. He said he'd learned sense, that he'd grown up. I just wonder if he would have grown up so fast without the money.
Yes. Does make you wonder, doesn't it? When did this transformation take place?
Oh, a year, 18 months ago.
Interesting. Well, I must be on my way. Thanks.
You're welcome. Night.
Knowles?
Detective Inspector Martin, sir. I think I've come up with something interesting about the plane.
Well?
I've been running a recheck on the owners who were not eliminated. I've just been talking to one of them, a Mr. Ben Tompkins. He has a curious background.
Inspector Wiley?
What can I do for you, Sergeant Bellamy?
There's a Mr. James Marlowe outside. He wants to see Commander Knowles.
What about?
The kidnapping, sir. He saw the photograph of George Sharp in the Daily Telegraph. And he's sure that he knows the man.
Is he a crank?
Well, you can't tell, of course, but... No, I wouldn't have said so.
Why does he want to see Knowles? Won't I do?
He insists on seeing the top man.
Well, sounds honestly like a nutter. Well, hold on. I'll just go and check.
Now, Martin, don't pull him in yet. Put a round-the-clock tail on him.
Sir.
Come in. Report to me immediately if there are any significant developments. We'll check further this end. And listen, don't lose him.
Right, sir.
Wiley, I think we may have something. A Mr. Ben Tompkins owns a Piper Cherokee and admits to being airborne last Saturday. Young, filthy rich.
Rich?
Well, this operation must have cost thousands. Someone had to finance the kidnappers. Look, I want you to get on the special branch. Find out if they've got anything on Tompkins. Was he ever a member of any of the loony left groups and so forth? There you are. Look, I've written down the details.
Well, there's a Mr. Marlowe outside to see you, sir.
Oh, really? Has he come to solve the case for us?
Sir?
Philip Marlowe, you twit. The most famous private eye in... Oh, never. Well, what does he want?
He says he knows George Sharp. Recognised the picture in the newspapers.
Wheel him in, then, and get cracking on those inquiries about Tompkins.
Right. Will do, sir. Would you come this way, sir?
Thank you.
Come in, Mr. Marlowe. Take a seat, please.
Thank you, Commander.
Aha, you've been in the sun, has he?
Oh, yes, just back from holiday, Florence.
Now, my inspector tells me you think you recognise the picture of the man we want to interview.
I don't think, Commander. I know.
Well, that's definite enough. All the same, would you mind looking at the original photograph, just to make sure? We've had a number of false alarms, as you can imagine.
Not at all.
Here we are. Now, would you study it carefully? It's a group picture, as you see.
I'm quite satisfied, Commander. That is the young man, the one at the back of the group.
And you know him?
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I said I recognised him.
Ah, I see.
Let me explain. Yes. I have a shop in Brighton. Handicrafts, pottery, fine linen, prints, glassware and so forth. It's not Harrods, mind you, but it gives me a living. Well, he came in and bought a cloth, a sort of tablecloth, a cheapish line, not my usual sort of thing, but I'd taken a half a dozen of them as a favour to a friend.
When was this?
Almost 3 weeks ago, just before I closed up and went on holiday.
Can you describe the cloth?
Quite easily. It was blue, and it had a kind of zodiac design.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever been to a fortune teller's, Commander, but it was the kind of cloth they might use to cover a table during one of their sessions.
Would you take a look at this, Mr. Marlowe, please? Another exhibit. It's a piece of cloth which we recovered in Oakfield Park after the bomb explosion. Oddly enough, it was used by a sort of fortune teller.
Yes. Yes, you can clearly see the Capricorn sign and part of Virgo. Oh, I'd be willing to swear that this came from one of my cloths, yes, indeed.
Do you trade under your own name, Mr. Marlowe?
Of course.
Odd, you're not mentioned on this list.
Yes?
These cloths were made in Hong Kong. We traced the UK distributors and they gave us a list of their retail outlets and you are not on it.
Hong Kong, you say? Oh, that's most distressing. I was assured that the cloths were British. I don't like to be deceived.
Where did you get your supply, Mr. Marlowe?
As I said, from a friend. He has a shop rather similar to my own, though on a smaller scale in Cheltenham.
Uh-huh. Is this it? Pip's Art and Hobby Shop.
That's it. By Jove, you chaps have certainly done your homework. Pip had foolishly taken a stock of these cloths and couldn't shift them. I offered to take six and see what I could do.
Your friend Pip didn't mention this when we spoke to him.
You've spoken to him? Well, I never. Oh, he wouldn't have remembered. He's a real scatterbrain. Confidentially, I don't think his business will survive much longer.
Yes.
He's no head for it, you know.
Yeah, right. Now, let's get back to your shop. Did this young man say why he wanted to buy the cloth?
No. No, I'm sure he didn't.
How many other customers did you have that day?
goodness, that's a question. I could look it up. I keep meticulous records.
Yeah, at a guess.
At a guess. 20. Oh, no, it was a Saturday, so it would be nearer 30.
30 customers, and it was over 3 weeks ago. Why should you particularly remember this one person?
Well, partly because I sold him that particular cloth. It was the only one I'd managed to move. And partly because of the girl.
Girl? What girl?
Didn't I say?
No, you didn't.
Oh, well, he had this girl with him. Not exactly with him, you understand. She waited at the entrance to the shop, and yes. I noticed how pretty she was. Exceptionally so. Quite beautiful, with lovely corn-coloured hair.
You're sure they were together?
Oh, yes. At one point she made a signal to him to indicate that time was getting on. And as they went off together, she took his arm and laughed up into his face.
I'd like you to give me a description of the girl, as detailed as you can make it.
No need for that, surely. You have her photograph.
What?
There, in that group picture you showed me.
This one?
That's it. There she is, in the foreground, to the left. She's beautiful, isn't she?
Thank you, Mr. Marlowe.
Wiley?
Sir?
Lashwood Secretary, Sue Swinton, I think her name is. She could be involved in some way.
Garden, she's been sitting there under our noses. Want me to pick her up, sir?
No, I said she could be involved, not that she was. Still, I'd like to talk to her. Get the car organised. You know, Wiley, I've been wrong before and I could be wrong now. But I have a feeling that we are at the beginning of the breakthrough.
Death May Surprise Us by Ted Willis starred Leslie Sands as Jack Stoddart, Mary Wimbush as Jess Stoddart, Cyril Shapps as Victor, and Geoffrey Matthews as Commander Knowles. Hugh Lashwood was Preston Lockwood, Valchik, Anthony Daniels, Carol, Jonathan Owen, Jane, Moya Leslie, James Lang, Arnold Diamond, the Home Secretary, Leslie Heritage, Inspector Wiley, Scott Cherry, Detective Inspector Martin and Thornby, Colin Starkey, Ben Tompkins, David Googe, Cheryl, Helen Atkinson-Wood, Woman Police Sergeant Bellamy, Ellen McIntosh, Marlowe, Lewis Stringer, and radio announcer was Peter Donaldson. Death May Surprise Us is dramatized by Ted Willis from his novel of the same name, and the serial is directed by Graham Gold.